This is the Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Boyd, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
Listeners, today we have again Ferdy van den Berg in our podcast. Welcome, Ferdy.
Thank you.
And welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Gaia. It's great to see you.
Yes, we look forward to this talk again. Last time we had Ferdy as guest, he talked about his business in the Netherlands, goud in handen, which means gold in hands, about the importance of the value of people and the importance of seeing people and how that looks like in a business. But there is another part of Ferdy, and it seems there is part of his heart is in Africa, in Uganda, where he has a ministry with children and,
yes,
and giving an opportunity for children to play and to be kids. So a totally different Ferdy this time.
Same Ferdy,
but a different story. So Ferdy, tell our listeners, how did you get involved with Africa?
So I studied marketing in the Netherlands, and I had my graduated in 98, and I had wanted to travel the world before I would find a real job. That was the idea. Back then, we were involved with my local church in Gouda. We were involved in a children's ministry that was based on the principles of Bill Wilson. And I had come part of that because one time I said, God, if you can use my talents, just put something on my path. And then somehow in my church, somebody asked me if I wanted to help with this children's work. And I thought, okay, sure. God, so I wrote a letter, because back in the days we still wrote letters. I wrote a letter, could I please come for 2 weeks to New York? That was the idea. And they wrote a letter back and they said, well, 2 weeks is not possible, but you could come and do an internship with us and you come for 4 months. So I did the internship for 4 months, and literally within 10 days of being there, I really felt that God was challenging me or exciting me, really. Like, this is also how you can live your life. You can really serve the people, and that really fitted me really well. So I stayed the 4 months, and then I prayed, and I felt that God challenged me again. If you want to do this with your life, you should work on your foundations. I was at that moment at a missions conference, and the base leader of YREM Netherlands was there, and he was out of all the people that were there that had boots and telling me about their Bible school and how awesome they were, and I'm sure they were, but Dick was the only one asking me about me. So, but who are you? What are you doing? And I just came from New York, so I was full of stories, but none of those other boots were interested in my stories, but Dick was, and that really connected with me. So 7 days later, I was in a DTS program of YREM at Heidelberg, and I loved it. And our outreach was in Uganda. So I went from New York to Heidelberg. For those of you that have a point of reference, that's pretty much in the middle of nowhere. And then I went to Uganda, which was also quite different than the life at it. I became friends with a Ugandan young man, just like me back then, Bosco Mukibi. And this was a special guy. I'm trying to make this story fast, but it's impossible. This is a special guy. Long story short, I started a traditional ministry with him. I went back to New York. I worked there for 8 more years. And Bosco and I started a traditional ministry in taking care of orphans. And we tried to find a grandmother or an uncle where they could live. And we would just support them with some money. Fast forward a little bit to 2008. My wife and I came back to the Netherlands after 8 years of New York. I started working in a company, which I loved, and which is in another podcast again. But Uganda also really stayed in our heart. So I convinced my wife, who's by the way, actually, she's French, but her parents are from Gabon. I had been in my life more in Africa than she had been in Africa, because I had gone to Uganda a few times. And we now with brother daughter in Uganda, and we realized there's nothing for children. Well, there is a lot for children, but only in those main necessities, education, health, shelter, which are totally very important. But nobody was taking care of the joy in a child. Nobody was helping children to play, stimulating creativity. And that's where we found really a niche in the market. I literally felt that, like, wow, but then we should start creating places that even in communities where there's no money, people would love to bring their children and would be willing to pay something for that. And that's the start of Checo.
I hear you say joy. So, Bill, did you ever monetize your joy?
I'm not sure how you actually do that, but if you have a lot of joy, you don't care so much about monetizing it in some ways. It has its own reward and its own strength, and it provides so very much so. I have a belief that we really need to be around an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10, and then we're ready for the day.
Mm. An 8 on the scale of being joyful.
Yes. If I'm not at an 8, I'm not ready to leave the house.
But to come back to your story, providing joy for kids, is that what motivated you, Ferdy?
Yeah, actually providing joy for my own daughter, because she was 14 months at the time. So we had come with the idea that traditional ministry, maybe we should help grow that. But the Ugandan, my partner Bosco, was doing that so well, that didn't need a face from the Netherlands to make that stronger. But my daughter, I wanted something for my daughter. So we were like, man, what do I do? Like, there's no petting farms, there's no playgrounds, there wasn't literally nothing. And then friends of us from New York had said, like, we know an orphanage in Jinja, a baby home, and they have a playground. Why don't you take your daughter there? So my wife and I went there. My daughter, of course, loved it. And by the third time we were there, my wife and I were looking at the children playing on that field. And then we looked at the fence. And the fence around the orphanage, there was this one particular part, it was full of children from the community. And they were all looking in that fence at those playing children. And that's when I realized, wow, this is so the upside down world. This is so messed up, really. That was literally what I thought. Those children don't have to be in an orphanage, but they saw something happening in that orphanage that was so gravitating to them. And then I thought, man, but what if we could actually, what I want to do for my daughter, what if we could create that for at scale? And that's when the idea of Checo, which is Swahili for hilarity and play, what if we could create a concept of play. Really, I thought, what if we could become the Disney of Africa and we could create places that were so awesome that, like I said before, local people would even be able and willing to pay for something. And that's when Checo started, and I had big plans. I was writing full business plans. And then I came to the Netherlands after 4 months, and I thought, but wait a minute, how am I going to convince people that this is a good idea? It's going to cost at least $500,000.
You didn't know Bill at that time yet.
I bet.
Because he is such a believer of the importance of play, and where we learn the most is on the playground. Right, Bill?
That's right, KF. It's my personal conviction.
You know, we talk here, this is a Business's Mission podcast. So here we hear Ferdy, you know, you warned us before. When I start talking about Checo, I don't stop. So we witness some of that.
Yeah.
But so here you have your business in the Netherlands and your ministry in Africa. And we are talking as Business's Mission to integrate it. So share with us your walk in how to make this sustainable.
Yeah. So from the very beginning, I felt God was challenging me not to make it into a typical ministry, but to make it a social enterprise. I don't think that term existed yet, but to make it into a business. And my grandma was still alive back then. And she said, but Ferdy, don't those children need to eat before they have time to play? And I didn't say that to my grandma, but I thought that to myself, well, if we find that so important, then we should also stop playing and first make sure everybody eats and then we start playing. But obviously, I couldn't say that to my grandma, but I did feel that there is something off with realizing the importance of play and the amazing results that that gives, not just in the child's life, but also when that child grows older, his capacity to make his own income, his capacity to think creatively, to have a business mindset or a leader mindset, or even become a good doctor, happens when they play.
So I'm going to disrupt you because I see Bill nodding. What are you thinking, Bill?
I am just so encouraged by what you're seeing, Faraday, what you saw there, the potential being drawn by the Lord, him giving you his sight over these kids, understanding the significance of play by itself and what it does to the human soul and what it releases there. So I'm just very excited to hear this journey that you've been on. And one day it will become sustainable, I'm sure. But during the journey, you're not losing sight of what the Lord is really up to. And so I feel like his love for children is unbounded. We have no idea how much he loves kids. And so whenever you feel your heart pulled in that direction and are obeying it, it just is an honor to be able to have this conversation today with you.
Well, I'm already encouraged by your comment of saying like that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you really shouldn't start your day if your joy level is not at an 8, because I believed it. And but life, of course, and like life also throws you hard curves, and there's many moments where that 8 is definitely not the result of a big smile on your face, but it is somehow strength inside of you to keep going. Really, really.
And I want to add, you know, before we started talking with you, Bill and I were in the studio privately by ourselves. And I'm like, how are you doing, Bill? And Bill was like, well, yeah, I'm joyful. I'm going to choose to be joyful. And I'm like, okay, I guess there are some thieves around there who want to steal your joy. And so do you want to give attention to the thieves? Do you want to share about it? Or we had a conversation like this. And the way, what I'm also learning in hanging out with Bill, you know, we've been now 3 years pretty much we had a lot of conversations. And yeah, it is without becoming superficial, you know, to allow grief when it's there, to allow, you know, to stay real, but at the same time, yeah, to choose to ask the Lord for his joy. And what you're saying quite often, joy is not circumstantial, right? I'm learning something, you know, over the years.
I think it comes from our identity with the Father and with Jesus and with the Spirit. And that's not circumstantial, but we definitely have circumstances that we're in, and it does no good to pretend that they're not there just because they're not favorable to us. But we also don't have to authorize them to take away our joy. You can have bad circumstances and joy simultaneously.
I want to throw in a little BAM testimony if I can, because I remember there was a time in my life that was really hard. I went to the BAM conference in the Netherlands, and I don't know if that's always, but there was at that time there was a prayer available for people, and I was really, and even prophetic prayer. So I don't even know who prayed for me, but the man that prayed for me during this BAM conference, he spoke some words of life over me that were beyond restoring, really. In a business conference, to make also room for prophetic prayer is the key, I think.
Well, thank you for encouraging us in this. You know, to indeed, that's what we hope through the business's mission. And I want to give a lot of credit also for Bill that business's mission is not only doing good businesses, yes, but that it's true life being in connection with our Lord and doing it in a way where there is safety for everybody to grow and to discover together. But thank you for sharing that. But we are sidetracking you from your story. We're like, hey, Ferdy, keep on.
No, it's But it goes hand in hand for sure.
Yes. How, what are some of the ways you can, because some of our listeners, they are in a situation like that. They do ministry, they didn't know, and they didn't hear Bill say that in the past. You know, first built your business. They went in there, you know, got touched like you, you know, by the Lord to start doing something. Now, how do they, how can you make this sustainable? Do you have some insights? Do you have some, and maybe also the insight that it takes time? That might be encouraging for people, because you thought you how long ago did you start, Ferdy?
I think you're both going to laugh, but the idea came when Mael was 14 months and she's now almost 19. So the idea already was 16 years old. We started 14 years ago with our first event in 2011. In 2016, we hired our first people. It was when we hired our first people and they asked us, because we were just doing social work, they asked us, could we also rent out the equipment we have? And I already had that idea a long time ago, but now they were saying, like, can we do this? And I was like, yes, you should. That's awesome. In 2020, we inquired a land and we now grown our staff to 16 full-time staff and about 30 day workers, if you could say that. So if we have events where we are rented out, our 4 years to become self-sustainable started really 2 years ago. But I have the feeling that God's timing of years has a little bit of a different ring to it, but I really believe because we are in that level. And maybe a key that can help people, what helps us now is we say we are social profitable. So we want to reach as many children social as we want to reach children profitable. And this is awesome for the team, because when the social goes way faster than the profitable, we just say, hey, guys, slow down. You did enough social. Let's go work on that profitable a little bit. So literally 2 years ago, the social was going high and then we had to stop that and the profitable came. But now last year we saw that the profitable was going faster than the social and we had to say, okay, guys, wait, don't forget, you also have to do your social part. And now this year we seem to really find a great balance between the two. So for us, that was a great key to measure.
So some of the things is like renting out equipment. What other ways did you?
Yeah, so our vision is to be Africa's biggest team of play professionals. And we want to provide every child a fun-filled childhood through our social enterprise. And we do that by building Checo Fun Village. So it's an African make-believe village where there's a group of cartoons ruling, living. And they invite children to come play sport, creative development, and have leisure. And we sell tickets to that. So it's really like a mini theme park. And our theme park is we have trampolines, we have skelters, we have football fields, we have a big playground. We have some awesome supporters from the Netherlands that have donated some awesome stuff. And we also rent that out. So that's our profit part. And actually, we also train trainers. That's also a part of our business. So, and the social part is that we go with teams into communities and we support schools in how to actually stimulate creative development through play and sports and the such.
I really like this. I mean,
me too.
A lot of ministry, like, you know, you give food, you build houses, you take for the, but, you know, I haven't heard a whole lot of, we want to provide fun for the children, you know. Have you heard about it, Ferdy?
No, when we started, I believed we were the only one. But I also believe that God triggers, if it's on God's heart, you are not the only one. So we saw literally in 2011, there was another awesome movement starting in Uganda that started building playgrounds in schools. They have ceased out a little bit now. I know now that there's few people that try this. I don't know if they all try to do it really self-sustainable or with the desire to make it really into a business, because I really believe if we can make it really in a business, then every dollar, every euro we invest will have a multifold return. And that's already proven, but we now also want to put it to work.
So when you hear Ferdy talk, what this is the question that keeps coming back, Bill?
I have two thoughts have come to mind. One is I'm hoping that one of our audience is going to become connected and become a supporter in any number of different ways. But I feel this is so attractive that there's somebody that will respond that way. The second is more of a question. I would love for our audience to know a little bit about the kind of the size of your operation. So are you talking about 10 kids that get together once a month, or what do you really help us to understand what the Lord has done in these years with you?
Yeah. So my learning school has really been in New York. And if there was one thing that Metro World Child did well was to scale. And what they've created was teams into communities. And we sort of copied that skill. So we want to see our teams have a mandate to go into the communities. And we just started that this year. That's also part of why we are able to measure this so well. They go into their set of communities Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to do social and networking. So they visit the schools and they have the mandate to reach at least 200 children in that 1 week. Which results, if you do that during the school terms, that results in 7,000 children per team per year, where we have really meaningful interactions. So not just throw out a couple of balloons and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, it needs to be a program. It needs to be impactful. And then they also have the mandate, and I will keep that just between me and my team, in what financial goal they would have, because we don't know. We are trying that the first year. We just put a benchmark and we are trying to support them as much as we can to reach those numbers. And now we have 3 teams. Next school team will have 4 teams, and we hope maybe we can grow to 5 teams this year. The maximum capacity of this one fun village will probably be 10 to 12 teams. And if you would do the calculation, then that's 7,000. Then we would reach over. I'm not supposed to talk about the numbers too much, but then we know how we can measure it. But we believe that the energy it takes to have meaningful interaction with 10 kids is almost the same energy it takes to have a meaningful interaction with 100 kids. So we would rather shoot for the 100 with a little bit more effort and then to really make that impactful.
So again, time goes fast. What are some of the things that our listeners should take from this? I mean, of course, the listeners can decide themselves, but what is a highlight? What would you like to highlight, Bill?
I just love the idea, back to the gold, that Faraday is just, he's a man walking with vision to see what God wants him to see in the lives of people, and in this case, particularly in the lives of kids. Mm. And so seeing the neighborhood watching what was going on inside the orphanage was a real key point. Not everybody would observe that or be able to respond to that, but he did. So I'm just so encouraged by this message again of we're surrounded by treasures of God in people that we may not normally recognize. So keep our eyes open and then keep responsive. So after you see something, then you respond. And the respond has been many, many years of faithful attendance to what God had shown Faraday. And that's always encouraging to hear.
Like that, how you recapture that. And I have a similar that it's basically either seeing the gold in people, but also seeing the opportunity and seeing something and seeing what can be. So I think that's how God can tuck on our shirt and say, hey. And yeah, maybe that's what we would like to share with our listeners. What did you see this week, this last month? And I always say entrepreneurs see opportunities and they can create them. I can see that entrepreneurial mind in you, Ferdy. So thank you for sharing. And what is there something that you, in closing, would like to, that you say, hey, yes, I've shared a lot, but I should have said this too. So we give you one more chance.
The one thought that comes to my mind is that I know my own past and I know the things that I liked as a child, that I that was my talent that I was good at. And I really, like my mom once said, you can give your talents to the world or you can give your talents to God. It's your choice. And I decided then, okay, well, God, if you can use my talents, all the things I get to do, I just enjoy because it's how God created me. And I was a, you know, I was a Mickey Mouse fan. And the funny thing is, Gea, I don't even necessarily like working with children, but I love empowering others to do it and I love children, don't get me wrong, but you should not put me in a class with children the whole day. But I love the idea that God gave me the ability to use all those things that I love doing. And that's what I want to give the listeners also. Like, what do you really love? And what do you know? I could not see how it would honor God, but God, if you can use it, use it. Mm-hmm. He will.
I know. I said that prayer and I'm like still kind it's of awesome. Like surprised. Oh, wow, yeah. I've got to do this.
Exactly. And you get to send an invoice for it sometimes. That's even more wonderful.
Yes. Well, thank you for this time together and for sharing with us, Ferdy. It's been a joy indeed to listen to you. Bill, I'd like you to pray for us, for us, for our listeners. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Papa, we just thank you for this reminder that you've put us in what we could call a very target-rich environment of people who are treasures to you, yourself. And we just ask you to open up the eyes of our heart so that we can see people the way you see them. And if you want us particularly to interact with any of them, just give us your understanding of that, and we will reach out in faith and take a chance and begin to talk with people and begin to interact with them, just the way that Faraday did. We thank you for his example, for the ministry that you've entrusted to him, and we just ask your richest blessing over him and all of those kids and all of the staff involved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, listeners, we'll see, or we won't see you again. You will hear us again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for listening to us.